Hey guys, thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Minister to us, God. Help us to have a great time in church. Lord, you are just an incredible God, and we can be full of joy. And we know if we have the joy of the Lord in our heart, then we should notify our face. So, Father, help us to smile, to laugh, to enjoy your presence, to enjoy the word you have for us today. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. All right. So, thinking about this series, Begin Again, I know, you know, everybody has New Year's resolutions, and we're jumping into new, you know, initiatives and things we want to do. And one of the things that I always think about when it comes to goal setting and things like that is this simple word, focus, right? We got to focus. You got to focus to, you know, meet a deadline. You got to focus to achieve a goal. You got to focus to, you know, really get through prayer and fasting. The first couple of weeks are usually pretty, or maybe the first couple of days, rather, are pretty easy. But as you go along, you're like, whew, geez, I need a donut, you know, something, right? So it just kind of gets a little tough, right? But you don't tell your pastor you had a donut, but you just kind of keep going. So anyways, those are, you know, you're focusing, but then what happens is, you know, these things called distractions happen. You start getting distractions, and distractions a lot of time can feel like it's derailing you, and it takes you off course or off focus. And I heard this quote from a man by the name of Bishop Dale Bonner. He said, "Distraction is destruction in slow motion. Distraction is destruction in slow motion." In other words, just small, minute, little distractions. And so you can be heading in a certain direction, and all of a sudden just feel defeated. I mean, instantly feel defeated. Now, I want to expose something here this morning, that in every season, regardless of whatever you're walking through or going through or you're in, you're going to face some kind of distraction, because, I mean, the enemy's not going to say, "Oh, you're fasting and praying. Wow, let me make sure the hot now sign on Krispy Kreme and never come on when you drive past anymore," right? No, he's not going to make it easy for you. He wants to distract you, right? He's coming to destroy. And so in any season that you're in, if you've run into distractions, you can see how feeding into those things can lead to destruction. But what I also realize is that we have an alternative. Anytime there's a distraction, there's this word that we don't like to use in church or in life, period. It's this word discipline, because it has such a negative connotation to it. Discipline. I'll give you an example. So early on in 2017, I decided, or actually later on 2017, it's about July, I decided, you know what, I love working out. I love, you know, getting to the gym. I'm going to enter into a bodybuilding, like, physique show. I want to get into one of those shows, you know, and I think it'd be awesome, you know, good goal to shoot for. So I get to the gym, get with a trainer. Long story short, I didn't realize how much discipline it takes to do this. I was like, I'm a skinny guy. I'm kind of fit. He's looking at me like, "You're nowhere near ready." And so I'm, oh, goodness gracious. So you got to, you know, put forth this discipline, this effort. I've done things now I never thought I could be able to do. I'm skinny. I'm like, Jesus, I'm almost wearing, you know, Baby Gap clothes. Like, it's terrible. But I've learned so much through the journey of discipline, and that in something as small as a discipline in the natural, how much it's taught me something in the spiritual. So even when you're doing something like prayer and fasting, and you're really focusing and you're abstaining from something in the natural, God is doing something in the spiritual. Sidebar, when you fast, you're taking your flesh and putting it in the passenger seat and putting the Spirit of God in the driver's seat. That's really the idea of fasting. It's as God, you take the wheel. You do what you're going to do. Anytime that I'm hungry, anytime I want to get on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, whatever, anytime I want to get on any of that stuff, I'm going to take some time to really focus on you. And so, God, we're letting the Lord feed us. So discipline, it often is just not this glamorous word. And we say, okay, discipline, and then we make a mistake. We run into a dead end, and we're like, what's going on? God, what are you doing? And we start feeling, that's when you're calling your pastor, you're calling your small group leader, you're getting your prayer team together. You're like, what do I do? What's going on? But in any season, I want you to realize that regardless of the distractions that you face, I'm going somewhere with this, watch this. Anytime you run into any distractions, you have to remind yourself that you have a deliverer. You have a deliverer. I can prove it to you. Because in any season the people of God walked through, God always delivered them and made a way out. He always gave them more ability to get through all the obstacles they had going on. So if you run into a brick wall, you're doing something right. If you run into a distraction, you're doing something right, because the enemy is not going to sit back and watch, like we said earlier. So in other words, if you look in the Old Testament, when the Israelites needed to come out of Egypt, God sent a deliverer. His name was Moses. When they were stuck in the wilderness needing to get into the promised land, God sent a deliverer. His name was Joshua. As New Testament believers, when we say yes to Jesus, you automatically have a deliverer. You don't have to be perfect. The only ability that you need is availability. Make yourself available to the Lord. Amen, somebody, right? That's the only ability God is requiring of you, just availability. And he'll guide you, direct you, show you something you've never seen before. So when you say yes to Jesus, you have this deliverer. You have this God who can help you in any season. So when the enemy tries to disrupt you, you know, hey, he's right there with me. But even in that moment, I got to flip it around for a quick second, because when the enemy tries to disrupt you, you have to realize you have something that can disrupt him, and it's called your praise. Now, I know that sounds churchy, but follow me. Anytime you praise the Lord, it is like nails on a chalkboard to the enemy. And he gets so upset and so angry, and no wonder why he wants to rise up. But the more you praise God, you may be thinking, I'm drawing him in more into me to disrupt my life. No. The more you praise God, the more victory that you are telling your mind and that you are actually speaking into your life. So when the enemy tries to throw something at you, it's bouncing off of the shield of faith. It's bouncing off of the armor of God. You have so much victory on the inside. And so when the moment you start praising the Lord, you're disrupting the plan of the enemy. He realizes, I can't attack them the way I used to. I can't do what I used to do. So Jesus, in this story of the lost sheep, he's disrupting everything. How? Because in the very beginning, he says he's hanging out talking to tax collectors and sinners. It's the Bible says in the very first opening verses, the tax collectors, other notorious sinners, often came to listen to Jesus teach. And then he had a meal with them. The audacity of Jesus to have a Chick-fil-A sandwich with sinners. Doesn't make any sense. But he was so focused on making sure that people understood his mission. And in these Pharisees here were looking at him saying, why are you dealing with people who don't follow the ways that we follow, people who we don't consider are righteous? Why are you even spending time with them? They are distractions. Jesus is looking back at them like, they're not my distractions. They are my destination. They are the direction that I'm focused towards. See, people may not understand why you're living and why you're doing what you're doing, fasting and praying, coming to church, worshiping. What is that all about? People may not understand or realize when you choose to operate differently when you go back to work tomorrow. You choose to have more joy even when you're feeling down or depressed. You choose to activate that which is on the inside, the Holy Spirit. You choose to activate all the gifts of the Spirit on the inside, regardless of what's going on in the natural. People won't understand it. They'll say, that's ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. You're saying, no, that's the destination. That's my direction. That's where God has called me, who he's called me to be, and I need to be that person. Amen, somebody. So you're waiting for God to come in and give you a magic wand and say, boom, guess what? You feel victorious. God's like, yes, I did that over 2,000 years ago. I made that ability. I provided that for you. So guess what? Every day, you got to wake up and put your big boy pants on, and you got to put that helmet of salvation on. I don't know why I'm going to the armor of God. It's not in my notes, but you got to put that on and walk this thing out and know that God's going to come through for you. So Jesus is telling them, the people that you're choosing to ostracize, the tax collectors, the sinners, I'm not ostracizing them. I'm utilizing them. You may think that no one notices you, that you don't have the perfect gifts. You've been going to church all your life. You still haven't figured out what your purpose is. Can I tell you this? God just wants to utilize you. He has a purpose for you. He will uncover that purpose to you. But the more you make yourself available, you're allowing God to deposit things on the inside of you. So the more you open up your heart, the more you open up your mind, just allow God to do a little bit of a deposit. We feel like God always withdraws. He wants more of our time. He wants more of this. No, God is about you making yourself available. so that he can shower his love and his grace upon you to show you who he's called you to be so that you can impact the world the way that you desire to do so. God is a gracious God. And in any moment when you look at this passage here, you start realizing Jesus had a bigger plan than just to teach him a little bit of a lesson. He used a modern day example. He said, you know, let me tell him a story. Suppose a man has 99 sheep, loses one. Won't he go after it? Now, let's put it in a modern day sense. If Jesus was a business owner and he has 99% profit, loses 1% profit, but decides to not focus on 99 and go after the one, we would say he failed in business, right? You'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you might not want to say he did now, but in natural sense, if somebody of your friend has a business and they're doing great here, they're like, let me take my eyes off this and go over here. You'd be like, that's ridiculous. Just let that 1% go. It doesn't make any difference. But to truly understand the context of what Jesus is saying and why he chose to do what he did, we got to look at all parties involved. So let's jump through this a little bit here this morning. So if I'm the 99, imagine we're the 99. And all of a sudden, in the story, Jesus says they're traveling through the wilderness. One gets lost. He leaves us in the wilderness to go after the one. If I'm the 99, I'm like, where's he going? Hello? Like, no, we're not in, you know, greener pastures. We are in the wilderness, okay? Like, that is, we started here, and we need to get there, and now I'm stuck here. It's hot, first of all. I don't like being hot. And we're stuck. What is going on? And it would be almost kind of crazy, because for Jesus to leave them there, it would seem like it's sheep without a shepherd. But when you study sheep, here's what something's fascinating. If one wanders off, they're more susceptible to predators. But the reason why a shepherd would leave his sheep together and go after the one is because sheep naturally, as a defense mechanism, will lump up together and appear a lot bigger towards predators. So we may be thinking that God is leaving us in a moment to go after somebody else, but in all actuality, God is realizing, hey, think about this, I'm leaving you in great company. There's power, in other words, in community. So anytime that you maybe feel like you're wrestling with something, you need to stop for a quick minute and realize the community that he's equipped around you. That's what this body is all about, community. The moment you realize the community you have, when it comes time for you to ask somebody to pray for you, to intercede on your behalf, they're there to do such. If you don't take advantage of community, no wonder why the predator is always crouching on you. No wonder why the enemy is always attacking your mind. No wonder why depression seems to be your testimony. It's because you haven't taken advantage of the community around you. Amen, somebody. So if I'm the 99, he's not leaving me. He has equipped me for the season that I'm in. But if I'm going even further, if I'm the one, right? Let me backtrack. Let me talk about the wilderness. Goodness gracious, God spoke to me about this. Why the wilderness? Why would God leave them in the wilderness? Because the wilderness is not a place to wander, but it could be a place to wait. It could be a waiting place. Now, here's what I mean. You don't want to wander around in the wilderness. We know about that story. We know how long that took. And anytime you're in a dry place, you never want to be in a dry place alone. Ever. So if you feel like you're dry, you need to link up with somebody else. You need to grab somebody's hand and say, I'm just not feeling it today. I know I can call Edwin and say, hey, man, I need you to pray for me. I can call any of my other friends, hey, I need you to pray for me. I know I'm a pastor, I know I'm a leader, but I'm feeling dry. I need you right now. And they can link up and pray, because you don't have to be Superman or Superwoman. So in any season, whatever you're walking through, know this, the wilderness is not a place to wander, but it could be a place to wait, waiting on the Lord, waiting for him. If I'm the one, that wandered off, right? Flip the script a little bit. Here's what's crazy about this. Often, sheep get distracted by just about anything. Sheep are pretty stupid. I ain't gonna lie to you. When I think about it, you start studying them up, they're pretty dumb. Yeah, so I'm like, I kind of felt some kind of way when Jesus was like, you know, y'all like sheep without a shepherd. I was like, all right, okay. You know, it's kind of like, let me see where you're going with this real quick. But it kind of made a little more sense as you understand it. So sheep get distracted, and it causes them to wander. What's also crazy about sheep, watch this. This is why it makes sense. Is that when a sheep is wandering off, even as the shepherd is pursuing them, they will yell for the shepherd to come get them, but continue to go in the opposite direction. They will continue to yell, I need your help. I need your help. And as the shepherd is coming to them, they will go in the opposite direction. So in other words, we need a shepherd to come after us. We need a shepherd to go after us. And think about in your own life, how many times have you asked God to show up and he does show up and tells you what you need to do, but you're like, aha, nah, I'll do this. I can't do that. But I don't want to make this sound like it's a very like, oh, you need to get yourself together. I just want you to realize who your father is. That's it. He's a good father. He's somebody who wants to lead you and guide you and show you the right path. It's not going to just be all gravy, but you know, he will guide you during the right steps and equip you and empower you to do such. So with the one being, the one that is scattered and is being off, what we need is a shepherd to come to recapture our attention. Sometimes we're talking about beginning again. Maybe this beginning of this new year, maybe your attention is just all off. Everything else is distracting you. Bills, all your failures, distractions, family members, relationships, whatever it could be that you are, just come to grips with. Guess what? That is your past. That happened. That is maybe where you're stuck at right now. But this very moment, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the Spirit of God. I believe in any moment that if I'm like a sheep and I'm yelling for my shepherd to come after me, I can stop at any moment, recognize I'm going in the opposite direction, and stand there and wait for him to grab me and place me on his shoulders. Amen, somebody. So when it don't feel like you're all is lost, it's not. You're just a lost sheep who needs a shepherd to recapture their attention. And if you go even a little bit further, I love this. If I'm the shepherd, why am I leaving 99 to go after one? Well, that's one lost sheep. Let's just keep it moving. Because that one, every single one has purpose. Every single one has a purpose. Sheep tend to follow a line, and they will follow the leader in front of them. But then they get these distractions that kind of take them off course. And literally, you can study this, there are sheep that if you follow a line and as the line is going, it goes off a cliff, they will just go off the cliff. Just keep going one by one by one by one by one because they're following the person in front of them. But I think about what Jesus is talking about in this story, and he's illustrating something, is that in every moment, in every season, you may feel like I know exactly where I need to go. I know exactly the step I need to take. And you may be like that those sheep where it's just, I'm going to go off the cliff. I'm going to go off the cliff. I feel like this is a direction I need to go in. But at any moment that you recognize that you feel like your direction is the best, God is here to remind us you need a shepherd to redirect you before you kill yourself, before you find yourself in a place where you never thought you would be. So the shepherd is just there to give you, I love it, man. I love that I have a good shepherd. I love that God trusts me enough to make great decisions, but also cares for me enough to not let me go by myself. I love what Moses said. Moses said, we don't want to go anywhere else unless your presence is with us. Right? You have the brains, you have the ability, you have the degrees, you have all of those things, but God is ready to use you and equip you and be with you so that you can enjoy the victory, not without him, but with him. And so as we're walking through this, I want to just, if you're taking down notes, you can write this really quick point down. God is chasing after you. He's literally chasing after you. I can prove it to you. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The goodness of the Lord is the love of God. The love of God is pursuing me. It is chasing after me. I love it. His goodness, his mercy. Here's what I love about mercy. We know grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. So surely God's love is pursuing me. And surely God is withholding all the things I do deserve because he cares about me. So in any season, I can realize that God is chasing me down, looking to build me up. He's never looking to mess me up, never looking to crumble me or make me fall, come down to my knees and break me down and make me feel bad about myself. I don't know about you, but when I read this gospel, I think about something. I need to be more excited about the God that I serve. I need to be more excited to come to the house to worship. I need to be more excited about encountering the presence of God when I can link up together. If somebody asked me to be vocal and give God a shout of praise, I should be like, hallelujah, I got something to say. I'm excited excited about the presence of God. It doesn't have to be charismatic or Pentecostal or whatever it is. You're just excited and celebratory about all that God has done in your life. Because when we get to heaven, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a quiet sector of heaven. I don't want to be in a sector of heaven where it's just, oh, let's just stand there and all things come of thee. No, that's not going to be me. I want to celebrate because I finally made it home. Come on, somebody. So in every single season you're in, if you're beginning a new season, you're coming out of a season, you have a God who is chasing after you, a God who's there for you to lift you up, to build you up. I love this. Now, let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. Why sheep? Why? Study sheep a little bit more, and it starts to make even more sense. The vision of sheep is just fascinating. It's a spiritual sermon all in and of itself. Sheep can see behind them without even turning their heads. It's incredible. I know. It's kind of freaky too, right? Sheep can look directly behind them without even turning their heads, and they can, of course, see to the sides of them, but they have poor depth perception. They can't see things very clearly in front of them. Notice why distractions. That reminds me of a man named Peter. When he's meant to focus on Jesus, and there's winds and waves, he steps outside the boat, takes his focus off the depth perception that was in front of them, and allows the winds and the waves to distract him in a moment. But what happened? In that moment, Jesus reaches down as he sinks, picks him up quick and instant. And we can look at what Jesus said to him and be like, ah, Peter, you messed up. Or we can look at the actions of Jesus as soon as he fell. He swooped him up and picked him up and taught him something to equip him. Failure does not mean a dead end. Failure is simply feedback. Feedback that I need to go in a different direction. Feedback that I can do something different next time. You are not a failure. You are not somebody thrown by the side. If anything, you're somebody who has been more equipped, more empowered, more encouraged, all because of the things you've gone through. If you have a testimony, why in the world would you not share it about the goodness of God? Share that testimony. Let people know about it. Tell your mama. Tell your daddy. Tell your sisters. Tell your brothers. Tell everybody about what God has done in your life, and let the glory of God shine. You don't have to be a super Christian. You just got to be you and let Jesus shine through you. Amen, somebody. So let God shine through. Let him do it. And our vision can get so thrown off. And I think about the sheep. I think about how they can see behind them. And that makes so much sense because we don't have to turn around and look at what we just came out of. We know what we came out of. What we have to do is challenge ourselves to stay focused on the person in front of us. Now, what about the hearing of the sheep? Because distractions, you can hear things and throws you off. Sheep actually have incredible hearing. They can hear things like it's nothing. What happens is that as soon as a sound pops up, their ears go in the direction of whatever sound they're hearing. And then that can cause a distraction or can keep them focused. What the Lord spoke to me about that is you have to realize the power of your sound, the power of your voice, that when you lift your voice, now watch this, when you lift your voice, especially around other sheep, you may not recognize how powerful your praise is, not just unto the Lord, but to those who are around you who need to listen to less distractions and actually need to hear a sound of praise to perk their ears up to get back in the right direction. So when you're worshiping the Lord, you're not doing it for everybody else, but the byproduct of encountering the presence of Jesus and worshiping Jesus is that others around you, there's been, incredible moments of worship where I walk into the sanctuary as a pastor, just not feeling it that day, overwhelmed, stressed out, got a lot going on, and all of a sudden I hear the sound of the saints who are worshiping Jesus. I can look at them, and I can realize they got so many things going on in their lives. Who am I right now to be in the distraction that I'm in? And they got so much happening in their lives. Let their worship just kind of encourage me for a quick second. Your worship encourages so many other people. So God has equipped you. I'm telling you guys, there's so much ability as the body of Christ that we can begin to utilize as we're talking about beginning again. This is a brand new year and a brand new season for Bridge Church to explode in such a way where people are walking through these doors hungry for the presence of God, hungry for the word of God, all because people like you in these seats right now are expressive, are explosive, and are looking to do whatever it is to populate the kingdom of heaven. Amen, somebody. That's what it's all about. It's not just about numbers, but it's about souls, and it's about people recognizing the power of God. To begin again means we look at everything that's happened in the past, and we equip ourselves with every testimony, every learning lesson, and we move forward in all that God has for us. So our sound is so important. Our sound is important. Our focus is important. Where are we going? And then at any time we get distracted, because even as you begin again, you're going to get distracted again. It's going to happen. So get ready for it. Don't feel like you got to be perfect. But when it happens, laugh it off and move on. Laugh it off and move forward. Because the mission of God on your life is not dictated based on how perfect you are. You have a mission and a purpose, not based on your perfection, but on His perfect love. So your purpose is to keep moving. Your purpose is to keep going. And at any time you get distracted, you can recognize what he says in chapter 5. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. In verse 5, rather. And when he found his sheep, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. Now, here's the interesting part about this whole thing as we wrap this up. The Bible says, as he found his sheep, he joyfully carries it on his shoulders. Study this a little bit, and it's kind of a little gruesome. What happens often is that the shepherd goes and finds the sheep. And as he finds the sheep, what he has to do in order for the sheep to teach them a lesson is break their legs. I know, like, how you going to preach this, Pastor Kyle? Go ahead and preach the breaking the legs. God going to break my legs. That's what you're going to tell me right now next. But he has to break their legs in order to teach them something about loyalty. And just so that they, because they're not really intelligent animals, so that they won't wander anymore. Now, here's what God is speaking to me on this. And I was like, Lord, you got to tell me something about this. I'm reminded on the cross at Calvary that Jesus was on this cross and between two thieves. In order to expedite the process of death, they would break the legs of these individuals, and also so that they wouldn't remain on the cross for too long, they would break their legs so they would die quicker, they could take them down and move on with what they had going on. They get to the thieves, they break their legs. They get to Jesus, they realize he's already dead. So there was no bone to be broken. And in that moment, I realized something. The reason why God doesn't have to break anything in us if we're wandering around in life is because Jesus already broke the curse of sin and death over 2,000 years ago. No bone needed to be broken because he already died. No bones need to be broken in our lives. Nothing needs to be shattered in our lives because he's already broken the curse over everything. The enemy has no control over you unless the control you give him. So in any season that you're walking through that you recognize, man, I'm struggling, I'm going through, God, I need you to carry me, God, I need you to pick me up. He's looking at you like, I have no problem with doing that at all. Recognize that the curse is broken, that you are already victorious, not because of any merit of your own, but it's simply because of what my son has done for you. And if you walk in that knowledge, it will give you joy, it will give you peace, prosperity, it will give you happiness. You'll be able to see, wow, I'm not living my life dictated based on how well of a Christian I am. I'm living my life dictated based on what God has done for me and who Jesus is. And so in any moment, I can change from one season to the next, from one attitude to the next. If I want to begin again, guess what? I can begin again and again and again and again, because God gives you a first chance, second chance, third chance. This is an awesome God to serve. So if you're somebody who's been wandering, somebody who feel like this past year, I've been struggling, here's the thing I want you to know. God is interested and is carrying you. He's carrying you. He's picking you up. He's carrying you. I love it because Zephaniah 3:17 says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. Not once you get it right. Not once you're perfect. Not once you know all the scriptures. Not once you attend every single fasting and prayer and every single gathering. He loves you just because of who you are. Man, live that out. Celebrate that. Let the glory of God shine through you. I mean, to begin again, to have a brand new beginning, a fresh start to a new year. This could be the year where everything changes, not only for you, but for this church. This could be the year where something just explosive happens in your life like never before. And if you don't do the due diligence of actually celebrating that and telling people about that, imagine how less of an impact we can have, or how much more of an impact we can have just by bragging on our God. So The last thing I want to wrap up with is this. He says in verse 6 and 7, which I think is super fascinating. He says, and when he arrives, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. What I think is kind of crazy is that, you know, sheep can't really repent. You know, an actual sheep can't really say, you know, I'm done, I'm turning from that. Repent is just a fancy word for, you know, you're kind of changing your mind, turning away from something. They can't really do that, but we have the advantage of being able to do such. And whatever you find yourself, wherever you're going, whatever you're struggling with right now, I want you to know my final thing I want to say to you is God is really calling for you to begin again, to come home. And home base sometimes is just a state of mind. Get back to where you know you need to be so that you can start this year. Maybe this year, it's 14 days in. Maybe this year so far, the past 2 weeks, hasn't been the best, but you can change everything right now. Do me a favor, would you stand with me real quick? If you would, as we get ready to jump into worship, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes right where you are. Take a moment just to focus. This is just a moment. We've heard the word. What does God want to do? But maybe this is the year where you've been struggling with a lot so far, past 2 weeks, where you're not sure what's going to happen. Can I tell you, God is really, really looking for this to be a begin again moment. This is a start of something brand new. That if you've been struggling with so much, you've been dealing with so much, then now's the time to press the reset button and watch him take over. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, if there's anybody who's just struggling, God, who needs more of your presence, who needs something fresh from you right now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll just flow in this place right now. Flow, flow, flow like never before, God. Flow right now. Touch the hearts of individuals. Touch the minds of individuals in this place right now. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I'm just going to tell you this. It's the greatest decision that you could ever make. I'm not lying to you. It is incredible. But if you're here and every head is bowed, every eye is closed, on the count of three, I'm not going to call you out, bring you to the front. I just want to know who I'm praying for. I'm going to say a general prayer for you. That's you. You said, hey, today, for the first time ever, I choose Jesus. That's you on the count of three. Just raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, raise your hand so I can see it. I got you, man, right here. Anybody else said, hey, I choose Jesus. That's me. First time ever. I'd be ashamed, worried. This is it. Amen. One last thing. Maybe you're here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is just between you and the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor Kyle, this sounds awesome. But I have felt lost recently, and I really need to get refocused. I need to kind of allow the shepherd to recapture my attention. I want this begin again to really be something for me. I don't want it just to be kind of another message. I need this to be transformative for my life. If that's you, just real quick, just raise your hand if that's you so we know who we're praying for, okay? All right. Father, every hand that is lifted right now, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that this beginning is a fresh beginning to something so new, something so transformative in their lives, God, that it shakes the very foundation of who they are. God, I pray that you'll do something in every area of their life where they need you to provide. Father, I pray that you will stir them up with gifts and passions and abilities, Lord, that they never, all the dreams, God, that they've had that have been lying dormant last year, this will be the year where those things come to pass in Jesus' name. We believe it, we know it, we count it as done, and we seal it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Give God some praise real quick. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Amen. Amen, church. Come on, let's make some noise to Pastor Kyle this morning. Amen. Amen. Wow. Incredible word. You guys can go to your seat just for a quick second. We're going to get ready to close out in prayer, man. Man, were you guys encouraged by that message this morning? Amen. Wow. Wow. You know, what's so amazing about this series is, and we hope that every week you'll make an intentional effort to be here in this series and that you invite others to be a part of this series as well, to help you understand that, man, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's happened in your life, like, you can begin again.
That's what that whole story was all about. That's what this message was about. So Pastor Kyle, we thank you, brother. Appreciate that message this morning. Amen.